Council, again, this is the case of Garrison versus Otto. Do either council have any questions before we begin? Very good. Thank you very much. Ms. Peebles, then you may approach and you may proceed.
May it please the court. My name's Edith Peebles, and I'm here again before you on this matter in a different capacity. I'm the privileged representative of Logan Otto, the appellant in this case, on appeal from the trial court's order entered July 26, 2021, which overruled his motion for new trial and his motion to alter or amend the order affirming domestic abuse protection entered May 10, 2021. The issue before the trial court, the Honorable Ryan Post, was whether a domestic abuse protection order issued March 18, 2020 should be renewed for another year under 42.924.3b. And the court found favorably for Ms. Garrison. And the statute as written was analyzed by the trial court. And he concluded under what we contend is pretty infirm scaffolding as provided by the legislature, he contended that she sufficiently carried her burden. I think both Mr. Ballou, who's my very worthy colleague, as well as myself, indicated in our brief materials that the statute gives little instruction on the forward movement that a judge should use for analysis. In this particular statutory construction, it's our opinion that the analysis does not have any thoroughness when applied by Judge Post, because the required review only asks that there be a demonstration that there's been no material change in relevant circumstances since the entry of the order. In other words, demonstrate a negative.
You're using that. Can you point to any material change in circumstances?
Well, it depends on who you're asking to put that burden forward.
I'm asking you, if it was your client's burden, what could your client show? Or what did your client feel?
A number of particulars. Those would include that although Ms. Garrison indicated her life was at risk and her family members' lives were at risk, that she intersected with him at various sporting events, that he and his family members were required to relocate in order to avoid contact with her. She would sit near him. She, while giving him information that she was going to stay in a particular hotel through her lawyer for a sporting event for one of the minor children the party share. He particularly moved to another hotel. She landed in that hotel. He stayed in his room in order to avoid contact with her.
Isn't all that just evidence of ongoing disputes between the parties, which according to, I believe, the district court's analysis was indication that this potential for future conflict and protection was necessary.
Your Honor, I think when you're looking at the severity of these type of orders, that's what has to be given a lot of scrutiny here. There is such a severe backwash if one of these is even alleged as being violated, and as the record is replete with evidence about that very issue. Ms. Garrison used the police department over and over again for very minor, specious reasons to try to show that Mr. Otto was in violation. So when you correctly report that Judge Post demonstrated in his order that he thought there were ongoing squabbles, there certainly are. And having practiced domestic law for 30 years, I can tell you sometimes those are perpetual. In this case, none of them rose to the level of what a protection order is designed to defend against.
I beg your pardon. Your reference to historical events, and I think the trial judge referred to historical events, would you say that what the trial judge was expressing was a history of coercive control, and it hadn't ceased. Is that a fair expression of what the trial judge found, that this was coercive control, as they say in the literature?
Your Honor, I don't think there was any demonstration of coercive control on the part of Mr. Otto against Ms. Garrison. The singular event that brought the first protection order to fruition, as this court may well recall, was that there was a possibility, she claimed, that he had tried to move towards her in a vehicle.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, our argument was he was in the parking lot, didn't know she was there. We had been in a proceeding, and that there was no possibility of a likelihood of future harm.
So that issue was established earlier, resolved by multiple levels of court earlier. So with that being possibly defined as law of the case, and that being the underlying purpose here, why would a renewal be inappropriate when squabbles continued, when that's an established fact that you're working from?
Because a squabble, Your Honor, has a much different significance than what we're called on to look for, in our opinion, before you issue an order with this kind of severe scaffolding in it.
How much of this is a credibility determination, and what deference do we give the judge in this circumstance as to credibility of witnesses?
In the opinion of the appellant, and I appreciate that question and knew it would be coming, but we don't believe that he had enough analysis. When you look at Judge Hall's Maria A. versus Oscar G. case authored by Judge Hall, it's very clear that the analysis is much broader than the one that's required under the renewal statute. So even if there is a credibility determination, the furthering of what should have been considered and reviewed was not there.
What's the standard?
I beg your pardon. In the Maria and Oscar situation, doesn't the record show that at the renewal hearing, the gentleman did not offer any evidence, his own evidence, right? And maybe he refused or refrained from testimony because there were criminal charges pending. But it wasn't a credibility issue insofar as there was no renewal, although the gentleman had not testified. Isn't that correct?
It is. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What's the standard that we use to determine whether a protection order that has been in effect for a year should be renewed or not? Has the legislature given us any guidance as to what we're to look at?
Barely. 42-924-3B. And that requires, actually, I should say 3A and B, that requires that a protection order may be renewed on the basis of the petitioner's affidavit stating that there has been no material change in relevant circumstances since the entry of the order.
But doesn't that contemplate a situation where the respondent basically throws up his or her hands and says, fine, leave it in place?
Exactly correct.
So what do we do when the respondent contests the renewal? What standard is the district court to apply, and what are we reviewing?
We're asking you to apply the standard that we believe is already present in Nebraska jurisprudence,
which is the case, the Maria Oscar, whether an ex parte order should be left in place,
whether or not there is a credible present threat of harm, and whether or not under the totality of circumstances, there is a future likelihood of harm. And when you look at the two cases that I recited from nearby jurisdictions, both Indiana and Iowa, they give this court some platform for an analysis that was used directly on point to what we're speaking to today.
So you're not contending that in a case where the respondent doesn't give up, that the court lacks any authority to renew the protection order. You're conceding that the legislature may not have expressly told us how it's to be analyzed, but the court nonetheless has the authority to extend that protection order beyond 1 year to renew it.
The court absolutely has that authority under this statutory construction. I believe it is infirm in its guidance.
Wouldn't the standard for the trial court's application simply be the greater weight of the evidence?
It may be, but I think under your guidance, they would have much more indication of what should be also considered. And I think without that consideration of specificity, without including the necessity that there be a credible present threat of harm, then we're going to have failed a lot of men and women who are again in this position. They are effectually enhanced without any possibility of recidivism. They get an enhanced sentence is what I would refer to it as. And in addition to that, as I'm sure every member of this honorable body is aware, the legislature's now has a bill before it that's going to put this up for a 5-year automatic renewal. So when you look at that, and I understand that's not before this court, but it makes it even more compelling that you direct and give guidance.
With the chief's indulgence, I want to ask one more question, and that is, I read your assignment of error rather broadly, but I take it from the argument that is the essence of your argument is one of sufficiency of evidence. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ballou, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
May it please the court, John Ballou appearing for Mrs. Garrison, the appellee. Mrs. Peebles, at the outset, Mrs. Peebles correctly noted that this is the second time this case has been in front of all of you in less than 2 years. And there's a reason for that. And the essential reason for it is that this case presents what is, or what I would refer to as a running gun battle between these two litigants. This case has been in front of Judge John Colborn for at least 10 years or 11 years. And then Judge Post joined the party here in the last year or so with this most recent go around. But before I talk about some of the evidence, I want to point out there are some things that we agree upon in this case based on the appellee or the appellant's brief. The first one is the nature of a domestic abuse protection order. It's very clear from the decisions of this court that a domestic abuse protection order is a forward-looking remedy. In other words, it's designed to prevent, as the court has said, quote, future mischief. And in this case, that's exactly what we were trying to do when we asked the court to renew a protection order that was mostly successful. They recognize on the other side of this case that that, in fact, is the way a domestic abuse protection order should be analogized to injunctive relief. The second thing that they agree upon is that the Maria A. and Oscar G. case provides us with a pretty good framework in which to analyze evidence. And in this case, Judge Post, I think, did a nice job in illuminating what he was looking at with respect to the factors in that case. You look at past and present credible threats of harm.
Counsel, at this level, we review de novo on the record.
Correct.
For abuse of discretion. And if there is evidence in conflict, we may but are not required to give deference to the trial court. Is that the correct standard?
That is the correct standard as I understand it.
Okay. So,
here's a judge that sees what happened just a year and a half ago in a parking lot adjacent to the courthouse after Mr. Otto was in court and had his parenting time continued to be suspended. Mrs. Otto would have been hit by his car had her husband not pulled her out of the way. The nature and frequency of past abuse is another issue in the Maria A. case. There have been numerous protection orders in the past. There have been three guardian ad litems in this case. There was an attorney even appointed for a guardian ad litem because of concerns.
So what's the limiting principle for the framework that you propose? If a respondent complies with the protection order in all respects, but there is no material change in circumstances because of that compliance, everything just remains static, how many years can a protection order be renewed?
I thought I would get that question.
So your answer is going to be fabulous.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's going to be fabulous, but I'll give you the best I got. And I think that if you look at some of the factors in the Maria case, remoteness, severity, effect on minor children, those kinds of factors play into that length. In other words, looking at the case that Mrs. Peebles cited from Indiana, I believe, in her brief, you know, in that case, there were two litigants, had no children, had gone their separate ways. There wasn't the need for interaction at soccer events and those kinds of things. I think that if an event occurs that requires a protection order and it's in place for several years, and some of the factors contributing to that are no longer present, such as the kids are grown, parties live in different towns, they've remarried and moved on in their life. I think that is a reason for a reexamination of whether or not, after a period of time, the likelihood of future harm still exists. So I can't give you an exact time frame. I think it's up to the court to determine the remoteness, the severity, effect on kids, and the type of past abuse that you would need to prevent, and whether that's still applicable to the facts before the court.
I beg your pardon. With respect to that item of past abuse, how relevant and how informative is that? I'll take the chance of saying past is prologue, but how informative is that to the trial court in deciding to renew? Is there a pattern?
Yes, there was in this case. There were numerous protection orders in this case. To answer your question, I believe that, the past is a good indicator of the future. And in this case, there have been numerous instances between these two people. And I think the Maria A case says that the court can look at past and present credible threats of harm. And so I do think past behavior informs us on this. And I think it, particularly in this case, where there has been so much going on between these two parties over an extended period of time, there's very little here for Judge Post to say, wow, things have really changed. There's no need for any more protection order. After less than 2 years before, Mrs. Garrison was almost hit by a car after a highly contested hearing before Judge Colborn. The other thing I think that's important here is that, and I think somebody pointed this out, Logan Otto has been adjudged judicially to have committed a domestic assault, and it was just a year and a half ago. This court, less than a year ago, affirmed the lower court decision by Judge Colborn in that regard. So he comes before this court having been adjudged as having committed a domestic assault in just the last 2 years. And I think when you look at that, and then you look at the Maria A. case and how the judge applied that, that there's more than enough evidence on this record to sustain the judge's decision. I also think that it is relevant that there really hasn't been any change of circumstances here. I think that initially Mrs. Garrison presented enough evidence that would justify the court determining that that she's credible and that there's significant evidence here of past and probable future abusive conduct toward her. At that point, I think the burden shifted, and I think it shifted to Mr. Otto, and I don't think he presented any change in circumstances. Rather, What he presented was a variety of evidence concerning him taking trips with the children and so forth in between battles in court with Mrs. Garrison. And I agree that the orders can't go on in perpetuity, but I think the court has to look at the length of time between the first order and the subsequent order that's being renewed. And in this case, and on this record, I think it's absolutely essential that Judge Post, in his decision, renewed this order. And we'd ask that the court affirm that. Any further questions?
Is there any beefing up that needs to be done to the Maria A. propositions, the inquiry, if you will, on whether to renew an ex parte protection, or do we need to beef it up to apply it to these extensions?
Well, I'm not sure that what I think ought to happen is that the legislature ought to create a little more groundwork here in terms of a contested renewal. And I think if they took the Maria A. case and put in the statute that these are factors the court may consider, they take care of that issue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal, counsel. That concludes arguments on Garrison versus Otto. You are excused. Thank you for your presentations. The court will move on then to the next case of the day, which is State versus Bixby.